Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to break open this word today, y'all. So get your Bibles ready. Get your tablets ready. We are in a series called Focus, and we started off talking about the blessing of small beginnings and finding the blessing and starting off in just one area, starting off small. But as you steward that well, God will increase it. Last week, I had the privilege of sitting down with Minister Deanna Jo Vivian, and we talked about the challenge of change. And today I want to continue our series on focus in the areas that we're going to be looking at this entire year. And today I want to talk about our choices. So go with me again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And this is now Joshua speaking to the children of Israel. He's saying, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for just allowing us the time that we have in your word. The power of technology allows us to be wherever the people are. And so, God, we know that there's no distance in the realm of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm commissioning you to every device, to every place someone is at right now. Meet them there. Father, prepare our hearts to receive your engrafted word. Father, I completely decrease so that you can increase and have full manifestation and have your way in our midst. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love this text because it gives to us really the reality of the choices that we have to make on a daily basis. Either we're going to make choices of life or we're going to make choices of death. And in Deuteronomy, the next chapter 30, verse 20, it goes on to say, you can make this choice, again, the choice of life, by loving the Lord your God and obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Joshua is saying that here's how you choose life, is that you make a decision to not only focus on God, but make it a point to love him, to obey him, to follow him. And this week in particular, I had a moment to actually think about this particular text because we see it again in the New Testament where we're asked to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I said, Lord, you know, I understand that we love you because you first loved us, but there are often times in the Bible where Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'm going to tell on myself, which I typically do from time to time. I'm practicing getting better as a husband. I think that if you're married to someone or if you're in a relationship, really the goal should be like, how can I improve on where I'm at to get better? And one of the areas that I needed to improve on was obeying or listening the first time. Okay. Let me know in the comments, fellas, if that's you, that you know, maybe you might be still working on listening and obeying the first time. And, you know, it's not that I don't want to listen. It's not that I don't want to obey. But I feel like at times I have a better way. At times I feel like I have a better time to do what I'm being asked to do. But all of that fails in comparison when there's someone that you love and they're asking you to do something that will not only help them, but will also help you. And so, as you all may be aware, my wife is expecting our first child. And at night, let me tell you, I don't know what it is, but at night, after we have, you know, left the main level and gone upstairs and we've gotten into the bed and I've gotten underneath the covers and I've gotten snuggled in, I don't know what it is about her asking me for a bottle of water. Now listen, fellas, I need y'all to talk to me right now in an honest way. Have y'all been there where you are just nestled underneath the covers and all of a sudden there's this request for a bottle of water even though you were around water all night long? But I noticed something here this week. Although I know it's going to happen, it doesn't bother me anymore. Because I thought about the least I could do for my wife who is carrying our child. I can't carry that. So she's doing something for me that I can't do for myself. The least I could do out of love for her is to not only obey her request, but make it a point that my attitude is, I am honored that you requested me. Listen to me. Listen, listen, listen. When we think about all that God has done for us, when we think about how good he's been to us, when we think about him giving his entire life for us, anything that he requests and requires of us to do, God, I am honored that you're requesting it. God, I'm honored that you're requiring it because I can't thank you enough for what you've done for me. And so what Joshua is saying to the children of Israel, don't you understand that this same God who rescued you out of the hand of the Egyptians, the same God who saw you from the wilderness, the same God who provided manna in a dry place, the same God who provided quail from the sky, that same God is now asking you to follow him, to trust him, to love him, to give him everything that belongs to him. And he's asking us things that are going to improve the quality of our life. And maybe you might not have had manna, maybe you might not have had quail, but you've had lights, you've needed food, you've needed a way when there was no way, you've needed healing, you've needed understanding, you've needed wisdom, you've needed to be rescued, you needed to be delivered. And in your darkest, leanest times, God was right there to help you, to increase you. Come on, y'all go shout with me in these chats now. God was right there to pull us out. So anything that he has, God, I am here. God, I am surrendered to you. God, whatever you're asking me to do, I'm going to focus on you so that I can continue to live the life that you desired for me. God did not rescue you. God did not save you. God did not deliver you. God did not put you in your right mind. God did not put you in that house with that heat right there. God didn't give you that food. God didn't give you that job just so that you could live a mediocre life. Come on, somebody gonna talk to me. God didn't do it just so you could just have just enough. But he said, if you follow me, there's even more than where that came from. But I need your choices now to align to the new reality to where you are. In fact, in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, Paul says it even better, or rather Luke says it even better. He says, for it's in him that we live, we move, we have our being. It's God that we are even existing today. But one thing that I've learned about choices is that no one has to teach us to choose death. No one has to teach us to choose what's going to hurt us. In fact, inside of our fleshly, which is the vernacular, the modern day vernacular, is the non-saved part of your thinking needs no help destroying your life. Listen, I don't care how much word and how good you think you are. If you let your thoughts, your feelings go unchecked, they will have you choosing things that you have no business being in. And so in Greg McCowan's book, Essentialism, he says, one strategic choice eliminates a universe of other options and maps a course for the next 5, 10, even 20 years of your life. Because once the big decision has been made, all subsequent decisions come into better focus. You see, what he's saying is that when we choose life, when we make it a point that, as Acts 17, 28 said, in him we live, we move, we have our being. Once the major decision has been made, it then will help us to make the consequential decisions that come after it and set a trajectory for the next years, the next decades of our life. Listen, right now, today, I don't care where you find yourself, I don't care what's going on, you are one solid decision away from making a turn for the better and living the life that God has placed in you once you've accepted his son Jesus to live. But I want to help you today, because we'll naturally make bad choices. Like, we don't need help with that. Come on now. We got some exes that can show that. Listen, I ain't asking you to, you know, put them in the chat. I ain't asking you to put them in the, don't you put their name down there. But we have some choices. Like, ooh, okay, all right, okay. See, we don't need help making those decisions. What I want to do is show you how Holy Spirit comes alongside you to help you to choose life. Go with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Someone in the comments, as we turn to John 16, say, I will make better choices. Come on, go ahead and put it in the comments. I will make better choices. Go ahead and declare that over your life. I will make better choices. John 16 and 13. So how do we learn how to choose better? I call this crafting a better chooser. Like, think about the person in a relationship where they get a certain type of person and it's just not working out. And it's not just one isolated event. Because listen, I'll give you one. But if you're talking about 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 of the same type of situations, it's not them other 4, 5, 6, 7. It's your chooser. I don't know why I just heard choosy lover. I don't know. Y'all praying for me? John 16 and 13. Here's how I'm going to give you some practical tips on how to make better choices. It says in verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. What a deal is that? That God has placed in you his Spirit, the word paraclete. That word means of the same sort. So when Jesus was saying, I will give you another comforter, I will give you a paraclete, the same Spirit that lives in me, I'm going to give to you, and he is only going to lead you in the right direction and the right path, and he will also tell you the future. And I'm going to share something heavy. I've just been, this first 31 has just been transformative, y'all. I want to give you, y'all ready for a heavy thought here? So when you have the gifts of the Spirit and the power gifts that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, babe? The power gifts? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, we have the word of wisdom, which God gives us just general insight into, you know, what's going to happen, what's going to come. He's going to operate in the word of wisdom. Oh, Nanata, Makadola, whoo, power of God's in here right now. You then have a word of knowledge, and a word of knowledge allows you to see into the past, into the mind of God, to see what has happened. And it begins to speak to your situation without the person having prior knowledge of it, but they're able to speak with accuracy. And all of these gifts, they show how true and how powerful and how real God is. Listen, y'all, I ain't playing with nobody this year. Like, we serve a real God who has real power, and his real power is greater than any of these real problems that our world is facing. But when we progress from word of wisdom, word of knowledge, here's the place that God ultimately wants all of us to get to, and that is the mind of God. What does it mean to have the mind of God? You see, God knows and he sees all. And so when you're able to choose and make it a habit of choosing what's right on a consistent basis, you begin to craft your spiritual palate in a way that you're saying, before I make this decision, I want to check in and spend some time praying. Listen, if you got a major decision to make right now, let me tell you, do not make the decision until you know what you are to do. If you don't have clarity on what to do, pause right now. You need to pause and you need to spend time praying. I invite you as a corporate group, join us online in our virtual prayer sessions. I highly encourage that. Or just whenever, steal away, get some quiet time. And I need you to pray until you know. What happens is you get rid of all those other biases, all those other feelings that are trying to pull you into the wrong direction, pull you into the wrong way, or pull you as Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. But here's the key. We're not to lean to our own understanding. So we have to make a choice that I am going to lean into the word, the knowledge, the mind, the spirit of understanding of God versus leaning into my own understanding. And so when you do that and you lean into the understanding and the spirit of understanding of God, he then gives you insight so that you can see what's about to happen. Can you imagine in your life that you don't have to bear the scars of disobedience if you listen to the wisdom that comes from the voice of God? You don't have to go through the school of hard knocks if you simply submit to the school of the Spirit and allow him to tell you what is to come. I understand you have these feelings. I understand you have these emotions. But one thing you better not give up is the sense of peace from the inside. I don't care how skilled you are. I don't care how gifted you are. I don't care how wonderful, how rich, how wealthy you are. If you don't have peace, your mind will lead you astray because that's what it was set to do. So choosing to follow the spirit of peace gives us the opportunity to, here's the first point. How do we have a better chooser? We live a principled life. You see, our life flows in the directions of what we value. So the bigger question I want you to ask yourself is, what do I really value? So what do you value? And I'm not talking about theoretically value because, you know, a company such as Enron, who remembers Enron from the early 2000s? Enron, for those who don't know it or weren't around for Enron, just Google it. They were a company that ended up going under because of a lot of just things that you shouldn't be doing as a corporation. Did you know one of Enron's values were integrity? So I understand what you want to put on your poster, on your vision board, on your wall. But let me tell you what your real values are. Take an inventory of the last 90 days. And what did you prioritize the most? Okay. Now that's just the first step. We're not going to stop there. That's just our first step. What did you prioritize most in the last 90 days? And just begin writing it down. Write down some of the actions that you took, some of the decisions you made, some of the places you've been. You'll be able to have a theme of sorts of, these were my values. Based off what your values actually were from the last 90 days, I then want you to now write down what you really believe your values should be. And is there any level of incongruence? And if there's any level of incongruence between what your actual values are and your desired values are, that's when we take these things into prayer and say, you know what, Lord? I need to figure out how do my actual values line up with my desired values? Because when your actual values are your desired values, then you live the life of complete fulfillment that God has desired for you. This is why we're frustrated, because we have an expectation of what we want, but we actually have the execution of stuff we don't need. I don't know what I just said. Can y'all like type that back in the chat so I can go back and read that? That was straight from the Spirit right here. So when you live a principled life, hear me, when you live a principled life, and this is following the Spirit of truth and him guiding you, 90% of the decisions that you have to make are already made for you. When you live a principled life and a life ordered by the Word of God, being led by the Spirit of truth, 90% of the decisions you have to make are already made for you. Let me give you a case in point. Let's just say there is someone who is a divine agitation, and maybe not divine as in sent by God, but they sent by somebody, and they are agitating the mess out of you. You're asking, what do I do concerning this person? Well, if I'm a principled person being led by the Spirit of truth, Jesus gave us a commandment in John 13 and 34, where it says, here's a new commandment, that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. That decision has already been made for us. That's just one of the things. But understanding that instead of you falling into decision fatigue, if you live your life according to principle, you will not allow the ebbs and flows of how you feel to then get you off of course for you to be what you were made to be here on this earth. Living a principled life helps us to understand that in order to say yes to one thing, you must say no to another. In order to say yes to one thing, you must say no to something else. But I want you to ask this question to yourself. I'm living a principled life and I have a better chooser. This is going to help you choose better. What will I say no to? Go ahead and type that in the comments. What will I say no to? Because if it's not a clear yes, then it's a clear no. And let me give you three questions. And these three questions are going to help you figure out, what am I to do? How do I choose better? How do I minimize the decision fatigue? Because the sign of true promotion is the availability of options. This is how you know that you're going higher in life, is that you no longer are settling for what you're given, but you now have a choice of what will I do? And this is what separates those who go higher to those who stagnate. Because when you get weighed down with so many choices and so many options and so many things, you could end up being involved in a lot of good things, but they were never things that were intended by God for you to be vested in. A person who is focused on what to do and makes solid decisions lives beyond the fray and allows them to be in clear mind so that you can have true discernment for things that come your way to try to trip you up. Now, here are the three questions. And this is going to help you say no to some things. Because if it's not a clear yes in your life, then it's a no. So number one, I want you to ask yourself, what am I deeply passionate about? Number two, what taps into my true talent and gifting? And number three, what meets a significant need in the world? Again, number one, what am I deeply passionate about? What taps my talent? And number three, what meets a significant need in the world? And what this is doing right now is, at least for me, as I was studying this message, it had me take an inventory of my calendar and find out, what am I choosing to do that is robbing me of my time, that is robbing me of my peace of mind? You know, often when we make choices to be a part or to commit to something, there's this phrase that we sometimes give, especially when we said yes to something we didn't want to say yes to. We say, oh, well, I got to go over here and do this. Well, I got to go over here and do that. I got to go over here and do this. Listen, practicing at being a better chooser and making better decisions substitutes the phrase, I've got to go, to, well, I'm choosing to do this. Well, I'm choosing to do that. Well, I've made the decision to, and you maintain your power and your autonomy. As long as you allow yourself to say, well, I got to do this, I got to do that, you're surrendering the power that God has given you as a free will agent in order to choose. And the more that you hold yourself accountable to the things on your calendar that you don't want to do, that you are doing, the sooner you will make the adjustments and be more precise and more focused in your decisions. To close today, I want to talk about the choice of connection. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, the B part of the verse, it says, for bad company corrupts good character. Listen, you all, it matters who and what you are aligned to. And I'm talking from your career. I'm talking from your community, talking from your church, talking from your personal relationships. We need to be solid in these areas because our choices can be robbing us of our time. They could be robbing us of our energy. They could be robbing us of our finances, and they could be robbing us of our peace of mind. It matters who you are connected to. Now, I've shared a lot today, and I appreciate you all. You all are really engaged. Thank you so much. But I want us to have a moment where we take an inventory of our choices. We take an inventory of our connections. We take an inventory of what we're prioritizing right now. If we could, just right now. Going back to that point in today's message where I asked you to look at your desired values versus your actual values. What are we actually doing? And right now, let's go back there and ask the Lord in this moment of prayer, in this time, God, help me to align what I desire to that which I do. And wherever you find incongruence, here's the word of the year. Let's get some accountability. Let's hold ourselves. Let's hold each other accountable to say, all right, this is what I'm desiring. This is what I'm doing. Can you help me? Finding, you know, one other person that you trust, maybe two other people that you trust, and saying, this is where I'm at. Only if you want to change. Only if you want to make better choices. This is what I desire. This is what I'm doing. This is what I desire. This is what I'm doing. And so that way someone can check in with you and say, you know what? I've got to make better choices. So right now, if I could pray with you out there today, if you're struggling with making the right choices, you're like Paul in Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7, where he said, the things that I want to do, I'm not doing. The things I should be doing, nowhere close. And what I shouldn't be doing, that's the very thing I'm doing. And I'm making an effort. I'm trying. Listen, I've been there. There are areas in my life where I feel the same exact way. But I don't want you to suffer in silence. I don't want you to suffer in these patterns of bad habits that are constantly draining you. Let's get free. The power of God is right there, waiting for you to acknowledge that, you know what, Lord, I'm ready to make a change. I'm ready to make a turn for the better. I'm ready to make better choices, and I'm ready to be held accountable. And if that's you today, if you would be able to text us at 770-667-4899. Again, it's 770-667-4899. And just simply text, I prayed with you. I'll know exactly what that means as they start coming. They're coming in right now. God bless you for those who are making the decision. Inside of our online campus, there's an option that says, would you like someone to pray with you? Make that bold decision that says, you know what? I'm going to get into a momentum of making great choices. I'm going to choose to do better. I'm choosing to take a step forward. And that momentum of one good choice compounds to another good choice, another good choice. And before you know it, you've made leaps and bounds of change, all because making one small good choice. Can I pray with you all today? So, Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. You are so wonderful. You are awesome. Thank you for visiting us today. God, I just praise you that your spirit was here. Your spirit was in our homes. Your spirit is in our cars or on the treadmill with us or on the elliptical or wherever we are, God, the living room, the TV room, our tablets, our room, God, you're right here. I believe you're calling all of us to get even better in our decisions, to get better in our choices, to hone in on your spirit of truth, who's going to show us things to come. Father, for every person who said, that's me, I prayed with you and made that decision today. God, send those people, those trusted relationships in their life to help hold them accountable, to be better versions of themselves. And we praise you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. We are so privileged and so honored to be able to come wherever you were today. This is a tad bit different. I did miss those of you who come in person, but next Sunday, God willing, we'll be able to gather not only in person, but also online. And before we leave, I want to make sure that I give everyone an opportunity to sow financially into the Outlet Community Church. I just want to level with you all. It's because of your giving. It's because of you all doing your very best that God has been so gracious to us in this ministry and our community close to the last 4 years now. And I want to personally thank you, but most importantly, heaven thanks you because of your obedience to the kingdom and your obedience concerning your finances. Truly, it proves your love for what you're receiving every single week, for what your life. Our prayer is that it completely transforms and continues to go higher. Our prayers during this first 31 is that God continues to expand you. But one thing that we all need to do, including myself, is always be reminded that it's He who gave us the power to get wealth. And when we have an opportunity to say, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, we do so and communicate financially to first prove that this money, that doesn't make us. But these resources that I'm blessed with, I can now be a blessing so that others can hear the word of God. And so there's four ways to give here at the Outlet Community. There's a slide that's coming on the screen that shows you about three of them, I believe, right now on the screen. Please, we're asking that you just prayerfully consider what the Lord is asking you to sow into our ministry today. And in advance, we thank you. We love you. And until next time, we'll see you here at the Outlet. Make sure you join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for our virtual prayer gathering. Come on, y'all can do it. It's just 15 minutes. We love you. See you next time.
I pray you had an awesome time worshiping with us. Remember to subscribe, share, and follow us on social media. Have an amazing week.